One of the interesting things that I have found in all these years of teaching, and especially since I've been a pastor in this church for many, many years, 22 and a half years now, is the array that God gives us. He gave Israel the seven species, which if you'll eat those seven species, you'll remain very healthy. The pomegranate, the date, the fig, and on and on and on. But today he has given us something that most of us will enjoy. He has given to me a dessert sermon. And by dessert sermon, I mean it's something sweet that if you'll consume it, it's going to give you a lot of energy. And it won't let you and leave you flat when you come down. If you can digest what God wants to place in you, this thought that I'm sharing with you today, it's always great, all of you that minister know, whenever the Lord fuels your mind with what it is that you feel like He wants you to say to His people. You are His people. I want to teach today the joy of life in Christ. And I had such an overwhelming moment and download of just extreme joy a few days ago. And this is where this thought process in His Word was birthed. God wants you to enjoy life. The truth of the matter is, the only thing wrong with God is some of the people that work for Him. If you'll just get to know God and in His Word and the power of His love and His Spirit, you need the Holy Spirit. You need that immersion He came to give. You're going to find out this is the best life there ever was. And while you're standing, I want to read Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So familiar you can quote it. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. You can be seated. What is this power for? Why would God come to bring us power? Well, without going back to Genesis where we lost it, this power, number one, He said was to be His witnesses. And can I express to you that I believe one of the greatest things that He gave us power to be, you can disagree with this, to be His witness is to be happy, to be balanced, to be peaceful, to be joyful, to be friendly, to have a family that speaks of completeness. And I think that being a witness, when He said He gave His power to be witnesses, I think that to be His witness is a lifestyle, and the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost is actually more needed to maintain a godly and exciting, fulfilled life than it is to preach to others. I think a lot of times that we somehow think that we are called to stand on a street corner or knock doors and blurt out, you need to repent or whatever. The truth of the matter is, if you lift Him up in your life, God will draw people to you. They will see that what you're doing is working. In the middle of your problem, in the middle of your situation, when they see you're not desecrated, you don't have to run to drugs or the pharmacy or this or that, and yet your joy and your ability to maintain speaks of that. And then you can testify of the fact of the power that God has placed in your life, that He has put you in the womb of a cocoon of peace and safety, and men can't understand it unless they receive it. And that's why in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, which just means simply doing that that is right, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, what a benefit to be added to eternal life, peace and joy now. And I want you to understand that I'm not teaching scriptures for scripture's sake only. I'm choosing these scriptures because these are scriptures that I know to be absolutely true. I can't express to you that I know, and I don't want to get into the degrading things I have done in past years, but whenever the drug culture came in the late 60s, all through the 70s, when it really got going, man, they made some things that just made you feel so in love with everything. And can I tell you that there's nothing that I've ever experienced like what I've experienced when I was born again in Christ? If you're someone that, I first want to say this to all of our listeners, to this congregation, if you cannot relate to what I'm going to be talking about today, it's because you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost. You've been a believer, but you've never, there's still more to come. You know, it'd be like the person that's only taken a toke and you try to explain LSD. There's that big a difference, and God forgive me for using it that way. It was like some of you drinking Coca-Cola and think you can equate that to a bottle of tequila. Two totally different results, both liquids. When you believed on the Lord and you got saved, that's awesome. But Christ came to fill you with His Spirit. And He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And He has changed my life. I don't miss anything in life. I don't miss the temptations that were once. If I did, I'd go back to them. This is the best life I've ever known. And when I look daily at the benefits, you know, peace and joy are hard to beat. I guess the next thing I need to say is, so how do you arrive and maintain peace and joy in this crazy world that we're living in? Well, begin with in Romans 15, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, and you are filled with knowledge, and you are able to admonish one another. But this God of hope first fills you with joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I will share with you, the more strength you see operate on the platform of any church, including this one, the more power that ministry will have. It is the joy that brings strength, because the joy means you are in right standing with man and God. It doesn't mean you don't have problems. It just means everything between you and God and you and others stands correctly. It's been placed in a position where God can align Himself with you. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 and 9, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now I want to stop there for a moment. When you go to, for all of you younger group, I guess it's very normal to you that on every couple of blocks there is a pharmacy on the corner. Now, you need to understand that when we were growing up in the good old days, as people used to call it, that wasn't so. We have never, ever in our lives, you are the generation that is experiencing this whole pharmaceutical culture. Never before has it been like that. A pharmacy on every corner has programmed you to believe that is normal life. Well, my wife, who's 62, and go to a doctor once every 10 or 15 years, and they'll say, what drugs are you on? She'll say, none at all. And they'll say, no, what prescriptions are you on? Well, the number two killer in America of humanity are doctors and prescriptions. You know that. That's the number two killer of people. And I can go on and on and on. But the purpose I'm trying to get to is this, is whenever he says, in the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keeps your mind through Christ Jesus, how does this peace override our problem? Well, it's like everything else in the Word. If we don't complete it, we can't expect it to happen. So let's read the rest of it. So he says, this peace that Christ wants to give, it overrides everything. And here's how we see it. He says, but brethren, here's the way you receive this peace. Think on things that are true. Think on things that are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report. If there's any virtue. If there be any praise. Think on these things. Take a volume. And you will have peace. Now I'm trying to make a point. And I'm being very real with you today. You need to ask yourself a question right now. Do you have joy like I'm talking about? You need to ask yourself that question. Don't let me know. And you need to tell yourself, are you fulfilled? Have you drank of the living water that totally completes you and that you're no longer having to impress people with what you think you need to be in life? Are you free from men to where you finally love yourself for who you are? You don't have to any longer march according to the world and the yoke of all the pressure of what it is to be something and someone, to impress, to be part of the in crowd, to look the right way, to drive the right thing, to blah, 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 blah. Do you have the joy and the peace that God came to give you? Because if you don't, then I need to ask you, are you taking the prescription that He's prescribed? And if you're someone that believes that you can have these things that God has come to give when He gave us the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth, which means now then it's not Fox News, it's not Al Jazeera news, it's not CNN news. Those things are not honest, they are not pure, they are not of a good report. And I doubt most of you have been to any movie lately that fulfills this concoction of chemicals called think on things that are honest, pure, just, lovely, a good report.
And then we wonder why we can't enter into joy and peace. We have been so programmed and our minds have been so filled with other things, we can't break through to what God is dying to give us.
Amen.
You've got to cut off the source of your sorrow. That's what the altar is for. I'm smiling. If you've got an addiction in your life, you can keep feeding it or you can run to the one that's able to break it. If you've had an addiction cured by God in this room, just lift your hand real quickly. Look around. You're sitting next to some dopers. You're sitting next to some alcoholics. You're sitting next to some thieves and drunkards. I can go on down the line. And so are some of you. But we finally got tired of being tired. We know more about some of that stuff. You think you know about it. We could have written a book on it. By the time you get to where you are, it ain't fun anymore. What's fun about being addicted? Let me tell you what's fun about living for God. You get addicted to the Holy Ghost and you'll go for the rest of your life singing the songs of praise. This is the best life that you could ever receive, is life in the Spirit of God. The Bible declares it like this in Psalm 68 and 19. Bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Every day you wake up as a child of God, you need to realize God's there. And He is waiting to load you with benefits. Now, am I making this stuff up? I'm preaching the Word of God to you. This is the ice cream. This is the dessert. Hopefully you've been milk and you've been meat, and it's time for some dessert. Because you need to get back to the source of why you came to God to begin with. You didn't come to God to hear a bunch of legalistic rules. You didn't come to God to get depressed because you feel like you can't live up to it. You came to God because someone gave you the good news that He loves you. You came to God because someone told you He'll give you joy. You came to God because someone told you He's better than chocolate cake. You came to God because someone told you His peace surpasses anything you've ever done. But somehow we get in church long enough and we forget the whole reason we came. It's like Sean said, they're simple in Him. Just think on these things. He daily loads us with benefits. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all my iniquities. I'm reading some benefits here. Who forgives all my iniquities. Well, Pastor Joe, you may know that, but God forgot it. He's forgiven me of all my iniquities. You want to know why joy comes forth? You can have a big cuss fight yesterday and today be pure before God. But you need to load up on that daily benefit of forgiveness and take in the mercy and the grace and receive the peace He wants to bring. He loves you more than you ever thought about loving Him. And I'm sorry that religion has given God such a bum rap. Lets you know why He hung out with sinners and not saints when He was here. He says, who forgiveth all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies my mouth with good things, and my youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalms 116. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Are you living the benefits that God has come to let you receive in your life? Are you someone today that can understand the fact God's for me? This is the best thing there is. And even though God's Word declares daily benefits are available, the reason I think I'm sharing this today is because many do not know what is available. Abundance is what truly living for God brings forth in its completed season. I will tell you that this is one thing that never grows old. If you will stay on course in worship, praise, relationship, prayer, if you will stay plugged into that spirit that the second Adam, Christ, came to be a quickening spirit, if you'll stay plugged into that source, this thing never grows old. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. Where I am today is not where I was 32 years ago when He delivered me from sin. I have grown way beyond where I started this race. And what affected me then has absolutely no effect upon me now. What I am able to endure now is incredible. That is what God does with a man or a woman that begins to invest their life in the things of God. You become bulletproof. You become invincible. You become more than a conqueror. You become victorious through Christ. I hope I say something that somebody believes in this room this morning. But the truth of the matter is, Psalms chapter 1 says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Who are your friends? Come on, let's ask ourselves, do I want to go ahead and live a life that sucks? Do I want to wake up every day and be depressed, broke, despondent, down, dreary? Working 9 to 5, don't you wish that's all you had to work to make ends meet? You can't make ends meet like that in America if you're modern, if you're average, middle America. This thing's ramping up, baby. You're going to be making brick without straw. That just simply means it can be done. It just takes more time. Oh, I could go on and on, but I want to stay in the positive. You say, why are you saying those negative things? I'm just trying to say, who cares? Because when your trust is in Him as your source, when your trust is in Him as your joy, these apostles crawled out from under rock piles after they were stoned, in the deep, in the prison. Christians you know today being persecuted. Sean sharing, you can go to another country that doesn't have all the mind-bending stuff we have today of the electronic gadgetry that so blocks our mind from anything thought process of truth and goodness and on and on. And they just receive healing. They receive Christ. The blind eyes are open. And in America, my God, we'd have to have a church on a 30-day fast. And then we'd have to find someone that was capable of believing in it. The enemy has shut the doors so hard in America, but don't worry, God's going to break them back open. But He needs you to walk in His benefits. He needs your light to shine amongst men. He's given you the power to be His witnesses. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law, the Word of God. And in His Word does he meditate day and night. Because this man that does this is going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. This is a benefit of living for God. Now you'll notice that in the natural is as in the spiritual. You do not go out and say, I'm going to plant a fruit. You go out and you plant a seed. And then you have a sprig. And then you have from the root, and the sprig, and the seed, eventually you have the fruit. And this is exactly what God is doing. God is building in your life. And the neat thing is, if you failed or fallen, God doesn't make you go back and start at the seed stage. He'll let you start right where you left off. Just like Abram went back to Bethel and between the place where he built the altar right before he went to Egypt, he recognized, I need to go back where I was. God didn't take him all the way back to Haran. God does not want to punish you. God wants to prosper you in spiritual blessings. Anybody believe that out there? He's for you. You need to know that. And when we look at this fruit, it'll come forth in due season. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, you can quote it as what? It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Do I need to read that again? Kim, you wanted more teaching on the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. If you want to see a mature Christian, the only way you can become a mature Christian is to have power. And you've heard me say from this pulpit many times, if you want to find out who's a mature Christian, disagree with them. Offend them. I'm so sick of fake Christian love. People that love you as long as you do what they want you to do, when they want you to do it. So the Bible says, try the Spirit and see if it be of God. And what God wants us to do is grow up. And you cannot be a mature Christian that has not thought on these things. And so the prescription that God has given us is as we meditate in His Word, you don't have to work at doing anything except meditating in His Word. The rest of it is the byproduct of just like when you took the prescription, it does what it's supposed to do. So if you aren't where you want to be in your Christian walk, you need to take the prescription. And I need to remind you that when you do take this prescription, the quotient of your joy, the amount of joy and peace that will come into your life has nothing to do with what's going on in your life. You become so unconditional to the things around you. Now, let me go on. This fruit of the Spirit, I want to read it again. If I am walking in the benefits of God, I'm exuding love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. This goes along with our favorite verse, John chapter 10 and 10, and that is that Jesus has come to give us life that we might have it more abundantly. So what mindset does it take to daily receive the benefits that God wants to load us with?
Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 will explain that. In Colossians 3, verse 17, it says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, let me try it like this. Some of the greatest songs that we ever hear are old, what they call, spiritual songs. And these songs, a lot of them were born in slave ships. They were born on working lines, in the prison line, as they worked on chain gangs in the road. Because what happened is we begin to see people that had been put down all of their life that found nothing but a faith in God. And what happened is that whatsoever they did in word and deed, they did all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm trying to simplify it and say it like this. They were digging that ditch in the name of Jesus. They were doing that job of slavery in the name of Jesus. Oh, Master, not here on earth, but in heaven, Lord, I serve you. And what happens is, when you quit working for man at your mundane existence, at your little life, and you begin to get up every day and do whatever it is you do as unto God, under the authority, the guidance, and the headship of Christ Jesus, then suddenly it changes everything about you, because whatever you're doing it to the glory of God. And no longer do you come under the heading of satisfying man. And you will find yourself like all the patriarchs of faith in the Bible. I'm simplifying to you. Joseph, when he was in Potiphar's house, and Joseph, when he was in the prison, wasn't being faithful to men. He was being faithful to God. When you learn whether your ministry grows or shrinks, whenever your name goes forward or backward, whether you've been abased, lied on, or you've been bragged on and exalted, that you are the same, because you're not doing anything for man, you're doing it all for God, suddenly you find yourself in a bulletproof house. And situations don't change you. You just keep being faithful to God, and it changes situations. You say, "My family's a mess." Don't worry about it. God wants to daily load you with the benefit of a family that lives for Him. But it's going to start with someone like you that gets faithful. It doesn't matter if it's such a mess and been like that for years. God can redeem the time. But it's going to take someone that begins to get up every day and sing psalms and hymns in their heart and take a stand and understand, God's for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? And it's time I realize the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I'm going to sing me some psalms and some hymns until I believe what I'm saying, until the power of God comes out. God is wanting to do a work in the life and every household in America, but somebody's got to take a step of faith and say, "I'll be the tree planted by the water." Now that's the truth. God may not change your circumstance, but He'll change you for it. And then when you get fully changed, you'll change your surroundings. And that's the order of it. And we come and ask God to change our surrounding, and He can't bless that because it's out of order. It's like a tree planted by the water. It's got to start with that is small. Despise not the day of small beginnings. And when you are willing to grow small, be abased. Israel, the nation, greatest nation in the earth, starts with the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet and ends with the largest letter. He said, "I didn't choose you because you were the greatest of all the nations, but the least." God wants to show what He can do through you and your faithfulness. Turn off the stinking TV. Forget about sports and sex for a day or two. Get your mind focused on the things of God and watch what He begins to do. You'll start to hear His voice. And when you start to hear His voice, you'll start to get encouraged. And before long, you'll realize He loves you in spite of yourself. He created you just like you love your kids. Just because your kids misbehave doesn't mean you write them off. Now unto Him. Musicians, if you would come. Ephesians 3. Sean, you going to help us? I'm trying to preach what I've experienced this morning. I'm trying to share with you that there's nothing like this. There's nothing like this. If I could share with you the miracles I've seen, even this week, huh? Let's see, this week I was talking to a man. He's being severely fought. He's innocent. He has a need of a situation, and the only way you can get anywhere in court without God is a good attorney. So that day, the boss walks in and says, "Hey, I want to give you $10,000.
Come on now.
You need an attorney." I can sit here and I can talk about my wife's father before he passed, and years ago, how we prayed for a witness because he wasn't going to receive us, ex-FBI, intelligent, college-educated guy, and we're trying to tell him about Holy Spirit. He saw the change in our life. So God gives him a golf partner. It ends up being a Pentecostal preacher in Missouri. I can sit here and tell you about the impossibilities I've seen God do because God daily loads me with benefits. He wants to load you with benefits. He'll take a wayward child and give them a friend they'll receive as a witness. My brother on a road, working traffic before he became higher up in authority. Years ago, the woman stops on her way home from church in the rain, goes to his police car, says, "Sir, you're going to think I'm crazy," and begins to witness to him about the power of the Holy Ghost and how he needs to be born again, which is exactly what I've been telling him. He called me and says, "You're not going to believe what just happened to me." I can go time and time again after miracle of provision. Can I express this to you? Ephesians 3:20, we've got to get out. Everything in America has become about money. Aren't you sick of it? Sports, about money. Medicine, about money. Entertainment, about money. Church, about God. Is that really what we've come to? It's all about the money? So I'm reading this and I want you to forget money for just a moment. Is that what really makes you worth something? Roddy didn't put any of it in his casket when we put him in the ground this week. Jesus didn't take any of it with him when he was resurrected. I've never seen the tombstone says, "Great guy, made lots of money." God says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." You know, all I ever wanted, God would, my wife and I filed for divorce. And now, years later, we become Christians. And I just want my marriage to be happy and I want it to work. And when I asked him just to make my marriage work, he did exceedingly abundantly above all that I asked or ever thought, because she became my best friend. And I hope she can say the same about me. I'm trying to tell someone in this room. You see, what I'm preaching to you is not something afar off. It's not something that doesn't make any sense in life. If you could understand what this will do in your life, you would run to this altar, get on your knees, cry out to God and say, "Whatever this man's taken, I want some of this." Because if it's really everything, he says, "No, it's more. It's exceedingly, abundantly more than I'm able to confess this morning." I just wanted my kids to be saved. And here two of them are up here, almost 40 and in their mid-30s, playing music for Christ in the church. And my other one, when he gets offshore, will come running to the house of God. One of the biggest tithe payers in this church. 40 years old. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to express to you, God, when I asked for this, did exceedingly abundantly above all that I asked and all that I think. But someone has to plant the seed and stand firm. You say, "Well, it's too late for me." No, you don't understand. I just want enough money to pay my bills. Oh God, just give me enough money to pay my bills. He has so far surpassed that. And I've seen the world, the parts of it I wanted to see. I've driven cars and had homes and land and flown rent-leased airplanes. I can go on and on and on. And as a young man at 15 working 12-hour shifts in a truck stop in the summer and 8 hours a day, 6 days a week after school for $1.25 an hour, never thought I'd make enough money to see anything. But then I came to know Christ and I started obeying the principles of Christ. And I've tried to bring to you this morning that if you don't take the prescription, you can't receive the benefits. I just wanted to feel good, but he went far beyond exceedingly above me feeling good. Feeling good is a normal state of mind. I'm so far off the scale when the joy comes down on me, you just want to dance like David danced. I understand while he danced until he was naked in front of the sight of everyone because the presence of God was there. And where the presence of God is a joyful spirit. Let me tell you, you don't come into the presence of God and sit like an Indian statue. When it's really there, you've got to move. I'm just trying to point out to you that God's gone so far beyond. 1 Peter chapter 1, whom having not seen you love, and in whom having thou now you see him not, yet believe, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Would you stand with me this morning? My God is awesome. When I came to him, I said, I got to know if you're real. I had probably experienced every pleasure I could put this body through almost. I didn't find him in a church. I found him on my knees. I found him in my heart crying out to him, God, if you're real, I've got to know it. And the Bible tells me, and of course I didn't even know Bible at that point. The Bible says the day you seek me with all your heart is the day you find me. And when you can forget about who's to the right and who's to the left, and you want God more than you want your next breath of air, you'll find more of him than you've ever found. But if you're someone that's just joined a church and you become a Christian, God bless you. I'm not knocking you. But you're blessing, the blessing God wants to put in your life, you're missing so much more he has for you in this power of the Spirit. Because he says, whom having not seen you love, and whom we go now you see him not, you believe. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. 2 Corinthians tells us, and thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift. One benefit I have found. And I don't know why as pastors and preachers we always say, I'm almost through. When you go to a movie next time, I've been teaching for 32 minutes. You'll sit in the movie for 2 hours and the actors don't stop right towards the end of the movie. We're almost done. But we come in church and we feel such an overwhelming, like, gosh, I hope we're not wasting your time, guys. That's why it's nice when you see people stand up and preach it. My God, preach it. Is that out of order? No, that helps the preacher feel like he's where he's supposed to be. It helps. That's in order. Somebody, don't just give me a Baptist nod. Give me a Baptist hand clap. Give me a Baptist hallelujah. Give me a Pentecostal, whatever. But somebody needs to receive what's being said and recognize we've got to join in this thing. We're in it together. One benefit I have found, and I'm done. True wealth is not just money. True wealth is favor, healing, protection, unmeasurable joy, and knowing that daily I have benefits to be applied. I may not have a savings big enough that I could outlive my money, but I can't outlive his provision. And therefore I know in whom I trust. I don't know if the almighty dollar will fail or fall, but it doesn't matter to me because I don't trust in those pieces of paper. They're great and they're a tool, but I trust in the one that brought me this far. I trust in the one that's able to bring you a piece of meat whenever you're hiding from Jezebel. I trust in the one that's able to turn the water into wine. Proverbs 11 and 28, he that trusts in riches shall fail, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Psalms 5 and 12. For the Lord will bless the righteous with favor. My God, the places I've gotten to go and the doors that have opened in my life, because God gives me favor. He wants to give you favor everywhere you go. Get in this thing. Take some time just to get closer to him. Isaiah 3 and 10. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with him, and they will eat of the fruit of their doing. Coming out of the fellowship hall, 6 o'clock tonight, Rabbi Hoffman Young. I can't remember his name. I was coming out of the fellowship hall a few months ago. I'm old. I know I don't look it. I don't feel it. I feel like a spry old thing until I try to act young in body. But anyway, I said, Lord, you know, he let me understand. I've got your retirement in my hand. I've got your retirement. This is your retirement. I have you. If
If you're worried about your retirement, let me tell you, you just worry about doing right with God and doing everything for Him. And it matters not what your IRA does, what the stock. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to belittle that. But I'm trying to tell you, you're in the hand of someone that's controlling all that. And He's bigger than any of that. And that's why Psalms 34:17 tells you that the righteous cry and the Lord hears them. And He delivers them all out of their troubles. Titus, my son, I want to write you a letter, and I want to tell you that it's not by works of righteousness which you have done, but it's according to His mercy that He saved us. And He saved us by the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly, exceedingly abundantly, above more than we ask or think. God is abundant in grace. And this morning, if you need prayer, this morning, if you want a new beginning, this morning, if you want living water, this morning, this altar is open for anyone that says, I'm ready. I'm ready to be that tree that's planted by the water. I'm ready for this new beginning. He wrote Timothy in chapter 1, and he says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love. 2 Corinthians 4:14, he tells us, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also, for all things for your sake, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many. It's abundant grace. I'm closing with Proverbs 24, Cheryl, and then Luke 12. A just man falls 7 times and raises up again. Go ahead and add Romans 8 to that. For I am persuaded that nothing, not even death, not life, not angels, not principalities, not powers, not things present, not even things to come, not height, not depth. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You just need to reach out and receive it. Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 12. He says, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. If you're hearing these words this morning and you have any doubt about God's love for you, if you have any doubt about Him being bigger than the problem that you're facing, I want you to chew on what you've just heard, to separate yourself from the things of the world for a while and to meditate in His Word. And go ahead and get by the side of your bed and begin to call out to Him and let Him illuminate your heart again and your mind. Fill you again with His Spirit and raise you up with power to recognize greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world.